all right? Or some of you, you can't function without someone, right, Rich? And you need that someone to take care of you and make sure they're taking care of you and that. And then we come into chapter 8. Now, chapter 8 through chapter 10 deals still with Paul answering questions. Remember, the Corinthians, those in Corinth, were asking questions. And Paul was addressing those questions. All three of these chapters. And thou shalt do this and this. But God doesn't do that. There is some thou shalt not. And we got to be careful we obey those and follow those because it's very clear. Just like murder, all right? We know thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not. And we can go through the thou shalt not. That's very clear what we should not be doing. But there's other issues. Over the years and times, people have debated, should a believer play cards or not? Some of you know what I'm talking about. I tell you, there's much debate over that. Does the scripture say thou shalt not play cards? It doesn't. But is there principles that people have used to say you shouldn't play cards? Now, we're not going to get in a debate this morning if you should play cards or not, if you should go home and play Uno or not. We're not talking about that, all right? Or what's some of those old games that you played? You know, Old Maid or those type of things, right? But it doesn't say thou shalt not. What's that? Whatever that is. And you have that. There's some gray areas. Is this? And you say, well, is that a gray area? It is, because where does the Bible says thou shalt not? Is people have debated about smoking. Now, I can give you principles that the Bible teaches why a believer should not smoke. But nowhere in the Bible does it say, thou shalt not smoke. So that has become an area of debate, an area of question that people would consider and say, well, it's okay because it doesn't say, thou shalt not. And this is the type of things that Paul's addressing. Now, he's focusing mainly on this idea of meat offered a sacrifice, or the idols, the sacrifices offered. But these are the areas. It doesn't come out and say, thou shalt not eat this meat. And Paul's going to address this. Paul's going to talk about this. But there's many areas in our lives that we sit back and wonder. Some people have debated over the years. Because the Bible does not say, thou shalt not dance. Is it okay to dance? Is it not okay to dance? There's some believers that say you should be able to dance with your husband or with your wife. Some say you shouldn't be able to dance. And you get in this whole debate in regards to this. And some say, well, if you go to the Jewish culture, they dance and this and that. And is it okay to dance and that? It doesn't say thou shalt not. People argue over that. People argued over areas before of silly things that we would think, because it doesn't say thou shalt not. But there was a time that people say, well, thou shalt not wear colored shirts. You should only wear white shirts to church. Is that an area that the Bible says thou shalt not? So you're looking at these areas, you're looking at these things. The other one is this. The Bible says thou shalt not wear makeup. Now, there's been a big thing over the years if ladies should wear makeup or not. Now, as someone in this church has said, Brother Brian, if the burning's painted, paint it. That's what he said, but I'm going to leave that alone and put that on him. That's not what he said. But, you know, thou shalt not. Just kidding. You can laugh a little bit in church. It's all right. And if they made makeup that looked like guys, I would use it so you wouldn't have to look at this ugliness all the time, all right? And it says, thou shalt not. Some things say thou shalt not, some things don't. So it's how you're looking at it. It's what you're looking at. That's what Paul's addressing. He's saying, okay, there's some areas. Now, we got to be careful. Because if it's something we don't like, we call it a gray area. Well, no, wait. The scripture's very clear about it. You can't say that's a gray area. You still got to look at the principles and this idea. Now, what Paul's addressing here is that Christian liberty. He's talking about your Christian freedom. Your Christian liberty is the central truth of the New Testament. But it's not an unbridled license to do whatever you please, however you want to do it. You know, many behaviors in Scripture are not commanded. They're not commended, nor are they forbidden in Scriptures. But there's principles that are given. And as Paul addresses the church of Corinth and answers some questions, he's going to go ahead and give them some thoughts in regards to this eating this meat. Now, when we look at freedom and our Christian liberty, there's two extremes. There's that which is called legalism and that which is called a license. Okay? Legalism is this. True form of legalism is anything that we say you have to do to be saved. But in this aspect, in this concept, legalism is simply this. When you're living under the law and you believe there is no gray area and everything in Scripture says thou shalt not. Even though it doesn't say thou shalt not, everything is that way. They would say, well, thou shalt not wear pants. All right? And they would say, that's in Scripture. Well, that's not. But legalism would say, if a lady wears pants, she can't go to heaven. All right? There's those that teach it. I'm giving illustrations so you understand this idea, what he's addressing. There are those that license the sin. Now, they don't believe there's much gray area either, but they believe everything's okay to do unless it says thou shalt not. All right? As long as it says thou shalt not, you can do anything else. You can do anything you want. So if mom and dad did not say directly, don't do this, you can do it, even though you know you probably shouldn't do it, you can still do it. Because they never said you couldn't do it. They never said I couldn't slap my sister. They told me I had to treat her with love and respect, but they never said I couldn't slap her. That's the license to sin. That's the license to do what you want to do. That's the license to do those things. Because it's never said I can't pull someone's hair. But the principle is given there. The license say, well, if it doesn't say directly, it doesn't say that I can't do this, then I can do whatever I want. That's the two extremes. The other thought is given here, and Paul seems to be addressing this type of group, that as long as they have their consciences free, they can do whatever they want. And Acts talks about this, and this is a concept, this is thought they have. As long as my conscience is free, I can do whatever I want. But Paul says, no, there's more to the equation. There's more to that thought. There's more than if it just says thou shalt not. There's more than that you can just go ahead and do what you want to do. And as long as your conscience is free, you can go ahead and do that. As long as you can live with it, you can do it. He says, no, you got to be considerate of the other person. You got to be considerate of other believers. You got to look beyond yourself, and you got to look at them. Now, Paul teaches that it can also be wrong to offend the conscience of another believer. Not just wrong to offend your own conscience, but to offend the conscience of another believer. Now, in answers to a specific question about eating food offered to idols, Paul gives a general and universal principle that you and I can take and apply to any gray areas in our lives. That principle is found in verse number 9. I want to read this. We're going to read our main text this morning in a minute. This is all introduction to get us into this. Verse 9 says, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." Take care lest this liberty of yours become a stumbling block. Before we exercise our Christian liberty in a given area not forbidden by Scripture, we should consider how it will affect others, how it affect other believers. As Paul is preparing, he's going to give this principle. We won't get to that principle in full today. That'll be a couple weeks down the road. But as he's preparing to give that principle of not being a stumbling block, of not causing someone else to fall, not doing those things, he is going to give some reasons that the Corinthians were giving or feeling because things weren't forbidden. They were looking at things and saying, well, it's not forbidden, so I should be able to eat the meat. I should be able to do this. And they gave some reasons, and now Paul's going to go ahead and refute those reasons that they give. He's going to say, all right, this is the reason. This is what you say. You can do what you want to do, but let me give you some teaching upon this. Let me give you some understanding of this, because that's going to play a role as we get to the principle that he's going to give to. If you're able to, please stand with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll read verses 1 through 3. There's three reasons. We're going to only look at the first reason this morning, but there's three reasons he gives. We know we all have knowledge. We know that an idol is nothing. And we know that food is not an issue with God. That's the reasons they give. We're going to look at the first three verses and look at that first reason they give this morning. Now, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth not, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand your word. Lord, help us to apply your word to our lives. And Lord, we do pray if there's one that does not know you as their Lord and Savior this morning, that today will be their day of salvation. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as we start in verse 1 and we look at this, we're looking at this thought. We know that we all have knowledge. This is their thoughts. This is what they're thinking, to be able to give them the freedom, the license to eat the meat, to do what they want. Now, let's talk about it. What is this thing sacrificed to idols? It's now as touching things offered unto idols. Things offered to idols. This is the meat that was sacrificed to the idols. It was worship in the temple. And what they believe happened, and the reason they would take this meat and they would sacrifice this meat, is because they were thought in that day that demons and different entities would come and contaminate the food and contaminate those. And they would offer those sacrifices unto the idols and those things, and this would cleanse it. It also find them favor with their gods, their gods, and they would do those things. And so that's why they would sacrifice. That's why they would bring this to them, and they would sacrifice this unto them. And so they were believing this meat would take on the evil spirits trying to invade the human beings, and that was the easiest way to attach themselves to the food before it was eaten. And so they attached it to the food. So you would have your T-bone steak or your ribeye, and the evil spirits would come about it. And as soon as you took a bite of that and ate it, you now were contaminated, not because of something with the meat, because evil spirits came into the meat and now is coming to yourself. That was the issue. That was what was happening. And so in that day, many struggled that became believers. Should they still eat this meat or not eat this meat? Now, the meat was brought. It was sacrificed. What happened in the meat that was sacrificed? The meat that was sacrificed, three things took place. Some of it was burnt and the sacrifice. Some of it was given to the priest. And some of it was given back to the one that offered the meat. Now, the meat that was given to the priest would get so much meat, the priest couldn't possibly eat that. So the priest would take that back to the marketplace, and they would sell this meat in the marketplace. And that is the meat they were talking about. Now, this meat was used by many. You say, well, why was this even an issue? They just didn't use it. They didn't eat it. Because this is a question. This is something that every believer had to deal with because it was used in the celebrations. It was used in the feast. It was used by other family members. You went to someone's house for a birthday party. All right? They would serve meat that was offered to the idols. They would have this meat. Some of the celebrations, some of the feasts, some of the things that they did in those days, they would use this pagan meat that was offered. So you would have to deal with this question. This is why those in Corinth were saying, okay, what do we do? How do we deal with this? How do we handle this? We're going to have to deal with this issue. We're going to have to decide if we're going to eat this meat. We're going to have to decide if we're going to go to this fellowship. We're going to have to decide if we're going to be a part of this or not. Or are we going to offend a family member because we didn't come and eat their meat? Are we going to do this? And they had to address this because this was a concern. This was something they were facing in their life. Do you know there's sometimes the gray areas change based upon age and culture and areas? There's some things that we would consider not that big of a deal here that we say acceptable here, that you could go over into the Middle East, you go over to Israel, it would be a big deal, all right? There's some areas that some of you grew up in Idaho, all right? You grew up in here. Here, I've never seen some things that are big deals in other areas that I've been in that are big deals here. I tell you, back in the Midwest, growing up in the Midwest, it was a big deal if ladies wore pants. It was a big deal, not just in church. I'm not talking that. I'm talking just in public. I'm talking just in normal. I'm talking that was a huge thing. That was a separation issue. Not really, but people made it that way. And so you look at that. You look at those ideas. You look at those things. And you see, this is talking about things that you have to deal with. And it changes in the culture, changes in the area. But there's some areas today that we need to consider, we need to look at. That's why Paul addresses this. We're going to get in that principle later on, down the road. And it gets in this principle. But he's going to address these questions. And he's going to give some reasons why he has to address this and why he's giving this principle. Because of those in the day, what they thought they knew and how they were acting and how they were doing things. Because they said, you're taking your freedom and you're causing someone else to stumble. You're taking your freedom and you're causing issues that don't need to be issues. Do you know there's some things in our lives we just have to say it's not really not that important? It's really not that important in our lives, and we need to address that. We need to look at that in our lives. Now, Paul responds here with these reasons, and who is he addressing? He's addressing to those who would be considered the more spiritual, okay? He's addressing those who would be considered the more mature. These are the ones that can handle it. These are the ones that say, well, the meat's not that big an issue because we understand what this meat is. It's just meat. We understand what it is. It's not that big a deal. We've got past that. We don't believe in any of this. We don't believe, and that's the reasons they give. We don't believe that this all this gets contaminated. We don't believe it's just an idol. It's just a statue. It's no big deal. What is happening, what's going on. And he says, we've arrived. We've come above. We're okay. We can handle this. He's addressing those more believers. He says, yes, you might be spiritual enough to eat that meat. You might be spiritual enough to be able to handle that. But think about the other individuals that are struggling with this and what you're causing to them. Now, let's look at this first reason that they give. Now, as touching things offered to idols. Again, we just gave that whole teaching on that. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So what does knowledge do? Here's what he's saying. You may be solid in doctrine, but because you're lacking something, you're not helping the situation. You're causing harm to the situation. You see, as we look at this, he's saying, you know what? We know that we have all knowledge. We know that you have the understanding. We know that you understand this. We know that you've looked past this and you realize it's just me. You realize it's just an idol. You realize it's okay to do. You realize it's not contaminated. It's not going to affect you. You realize all these truths. You have all this knowledge. But what your knowledge is doing is puffing you up. What your knowledge is doing is you think you're more spiritual than someone else because you can handle it. Now, I want us to think about that just for a moment. I tell you, sometimes I think we need to study Scripture. Don't get me wrong. We need to know our doctrines. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes I think we have gotten so much of a knowledge that think we have arrived and we think we're better than someone else. I don't know why you're struggling with that sin. Haven't you read your Bible before? Oh, haven't you seen that teaching in the Word of God before? Hey, the Bible says this and the Bible says that. I don't know why you're struggling with this. Oh, yeah, it may be a gray area, but you have to realize I've got the super knowledge and super understanding, and I've come beyond that. I don't know why you're struggling with that. And they lifted themselves up. Knowledge by itself puffeth up. Knowledge by itself has put you in a place that you think you're above someone else. Well, I don't know why that weaker brother's struggling. That's their problem. They need to just get over it. You know what? They just need to realize it's just meat, and they need to start eating the meat too. They need to get over it. But Paul says, no, no, no. That's what the principle's going to be given. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to live in a life that in a way to help people. He even addresses it here. He says, you have this knowledge. You have this understanding. But it puffs up. But look at verse 2. Not only does it puff up, but look at verse 2. What does it say about this knowledge? You have this knowledge. You have this understanding. And if any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. You see, this knowledge that you think you have really shows you've missed the mark. You've missed the whole point. You have all this understanding. You have this deeper knowledge. You have this deeper understanding. But you're missing the main point. You're missing the purpose of this freedom that you have. You're missing the liberty that you have. Your liberty is for you to serve God and help those come closer to God. Your liberty, your freedom is not there so you can do what you want to do and put someone else down. Your freedom and your liberty is there is so you can lift one another up and help one another serve God. The purpose of your freedom, your liberty, is to bring unity in the church, not to bring disunity in the church. The purpose of your knowledge and your understanding is to do those things. And you think you know it. In reality, you don't know it. In reality, you really didn't get what I was trying to teach you all the way leading up to this portion of Scripture. What I was trying to get you, Church of Corinth, to understand. What I was trying to get you to understand and see that this type of love that you ought to have, this type of unity that you ought to have, these truths that are there, you're to get this. Yes, I want you to be fed. I want you to have knowledge. I want you to have understanding. But I want you to realize it's not about you. It's about serving God. You know, we've gotten to a place as believers that we don't care about anyone else but ourselves. And we have this knowledge, we have this understanding, and we have this, and we have arrived, and all these other peasants, they don't know what they're doing. They just need to get right with God. I'm sorry they're weak, but they need to just get over it. That's our thoughts. But he says this. You have this knowledge. You have this understanding. You have this teaching. But instead of you having love for someone, you become harsh towards someone else. Now, we all know there's ways to handle things. There's ways to teach. You know what needed to happen? These individuals needed in love, and we're going to look at the love part in a minute. These individuals in love, what do they need to do? They needed to teach the weaker brother the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God to help them come to the place where they're at. Amen. Not to be harsh and say, just get over it. Just get right with God, the harsh type. No. Let's sit down. Let's study the Word of God together. Hey, let me show you some verses. Let me show you some truths. Why this is just an idol. It's no big deal. Why this meat did not become contaminated by evil spirits. Why it's okay for you to eat if you choose to eat of this meat. Why it's okay to do this. Let me teach you out of love. Let me not belittle you. Let me not put you down. Let me not do those things. But let me just teach you. You know, there's some truths in the Word of God that we need to come alongside one another and say, hey, let me just teach you these truths. Let me show you what the Bible says about this. Let me help you. Not that I'm better than you. Because I've struggled with things too. Not that I haven't had any struggles. Not that I haven't had any problems. Maybe not over that area, but I have another area that I struggle with. And you know what? I'm not trying to say I'm better than you or I've arrived or I've come to a better understanding than you. But let me just help you. Let me show you some things. Let's work together and let's see what God's Word says. And let me help you as you grow in your Christian life and I grow my Christian life. Let's come alongside and let's help one another and build one another up and get this truth and get this understanding. This is what Paul is trying to get the church of Corinth to understand. He says, you think you know it all, but you don't know anything. How many met someone that thinks they know it all, but they don't know anything? Don't point fingers this morning, all right? There's a lot of times we think we know it all, and we really don't know anything. I've shared this before, and I've shared this with Caleb and Isaac and some others. The greatest thing I learned when I went off to Bible college is I didn't know anything. I thought I knew it all. And then I realized real quickly I didn't know anything. Caleb's got to that point a little bit too in his life, right, Caleb? Caleb is taking Greek. He's enjoying Greek. He has to take 4 years of Greek. Greek 1, Greek 2, Greek 3, Greek 4. Greek 3 and Greek 4 gets a little easier because as long as you do the first 2 years and you get all the understanding, then 3 and 4 is easy because you take all those and you just apply them and you already know all the case endings, you already know all your vocab, you already know all that. So that's easy, that's the gravy, if you get 1 and 2 done. If you don't get 1 and 2 done, you're going to struggle the whole time in Greek, all right? Because you're going to not be able to do the other years because you've never learned what you need to learn. And a lot of times we have to realize we don't know anything. We don't know. And he said, you think you know it all, but you really don't know it. I believe in churches today, and please get this, and take this the right way this morning. I believe in churches today, we have a lot of people who are puffed up in their knowledge, but they're missing the truth. They are so ready to point their finger down someone else's throat, and so ready to cast someone else out to the wayside because they're not living the way they're supposed to be living. They're so ready to come down upon them and live how they want to live because they have their freedom. I know what this is. I have the knowledge. It's just an idol. I have the knowledge. It's just this. I have the knowledge. It's just this. They need to get over it. No. You need to make sure your heart's where it ought to be. Now let's back up. Look at verse 1 again. And then we're going to look at verse 3. We see, as we set this whole stage, he's saying he's going to get into the principle here. He's going to get in the principle of, all right, you can't be a stumbling block, verse 9. But he's giving these reasons. The first reason is we know that we have all knowledge. As he's given this knowledge, he says, all right, what does knowledge do? Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge thinks you're better than someone else. Knowledge is used to be harsh with someone else instead of lifting someone else up. Now he says, you're missing it, because what does love do? What does love do? You're missing it. You have doctrine, but you don't have love. Truth in love, the scripture teaches. He says, now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. What does love do? What does charity do? Charity is love in action, and charity does what? It edifies. It builds up. He's saying, you have knowledge. Knowledge is tearing down, but love is going to build up. What does love do? Love comes alongside someone. Love helps someone. Love pours out their heart, and they're broken because someone's struggling in an area and they want to be helped. Love realizes my freedom that I have as a believer, my freedom I have is not a license to do what I want, but the freedom I have as a believer is to come alongside and help one another, to edify one another, to build one another up. This is the love that Paul wanted one in the church to have. He says, don't love yourself so much that you neglect the needs of someone else. Don't love yourself and your knowledge so much where you're missing it and seeing that someone needs you to come alongside them and help them and teach them and love them and nourish them and be there for them. Don't miss that truth that, yes, you can. You might have arrived. You might be at that place. But that person isn't, and that person needs you to come alongside them and help them and build them up so they can mature, so they can be where they need to be in their Christian life, so they can grow. Don't kick them. Don't push them down, but come and love them. Come and help them. You know, many times in any church, we have people all different spiritual levels. And some people that are more spiritual low have been saved lesser in life than those that have been saved longer in life. It has no bearing on how long you've been saved. Your spiritual growth, your spiritual maturity has to do with your hunger and thirst after righteousness, digging in the Word of God, being discipled, being taught, following the Word of God, and following the principles of God's Word. And we have people on all different spiritual levels in the church. And you know what? You're going to have people below you. You're going to have people above you. No matter who you are, you're always going to have that. There's going to be people below, people above, spiritually speaking. And so what do we need to do? Never think we have arrived, but look at our lives as being an instrument, a tool to help someone else grow. To look and say, I have got to have this love. Love edifies. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge tears down. But love comes alongside. Love helps. Love takes the principles that God has taught me, and I teach someone else. Not saying I know better, but saying based upon experience, based upon what I've gone through, based upon what I've seen, here's these truths. Now, we might have some differences when it comes to some things that are gray areas. We may not always agree on everything and all those things, but love says, I'm not going to tear you down. I'm not going to put you down. I'm going to explain to you, and if what I'm going to do is going to cause you to stumble, then I'm going to be careful what I'm doing, because love triumphs, and I need to have love for you more than I want have love for my freedom or love for me to do what I want to do. If going to the movies is going to offend you, if going to the movies is going to cause you problems, I love you enough as a dear brother, dear sister in the Lord Jesus Christ to say, I don't need to go to that movie. If this is going to offend you, if I'm going to eat of this meat is going to offend you, then I'm going to love you enough to not eat that meat around you. That's what the love does. Let me give an illustration. Those that ever lost weight before, you know what you can do to help show love and not your freedom? Some of you that never struggled with weight before. Let me hit this a little bit. Some of you, you can eat anything you want to eat. And someday, you're going to get your revenge. And you can eat whatever you want to eat. But you know what? There's some people that struggle with everything they eat. And it puts pounds on them no matter what they eat. And you know what people do? Well, I have the freedom. I can sit right in front of this person and I can eat a whole cake. I don't know why you would ever eat a cake anyways. Frosting is disgusting. But you sit and you eat a whole cake. Or you eat that large pizza by yourself. And then you do this. Oh, this is so good. You know what I'm talking about, Brian. You've done that before. And you've done these things. And, or, oh, you can't have gluten. But I can eat gluten. And so you do these. Now, here's the thing. Love says, you know what? If this is going to cause this person to stumble, if this is going to cause this person to want to eat the cake, if this is going to cause this person that want to eat this Big Mac, if this is going to cause this and this is going to cause that, if this is going to do this, then you know what? Love says, I don't have to have that quarter pounder of cheese. I don't have to have those things. I don't have to do that. I don't have to put my... to cause someone else to stumble. I'm not going to, love says, I don't want to see Brother Rich fall. I want to see Brother Rich live for God. I don't want to see Brother Dick fall by the wayside. I want to see Brother Dick live for God. And if what I'm going to do is going to cause them to stumble, then I'm going to stay away from it because I love them with a holy, godly love. I love them as I should, and I'm not going to do those things to cause them. He says, love edifies. But look at verse 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. The love for God and others shall determine our conduct. It says, the love that God has for us ought to be the love that we bestow or show or demonstrate to others. This is the love, all right? You see, the love God has for you ought to be shining through your lives and affecting one another. Now, I want you to get this illustration for a moment. There are things that, as a person that's more spiritual, not talking myself, I'm just giving this as a general, as a person that's more spiritual, there's some things that you could probably do that a weaker brother or a weaker sister cannot do. All right? But it doesn't mean you should do it. Because the love I ought to have is a godly love for them. This is the love that I ought to demonstrate. I ought to be shining through me to realize the reason I'm here on this earth is to please God. And the reason I'm here on the earth is to help others please God. The reason I am here as a believer in God to save me is to serve Him and to live for Him and to please Him. And I want to see everyone else serve and live and please God with their lives. So some of my freedom, some of the things I do, because I have God's love in me, and because I'm shining bright for the love of God, I'm not going to do those things. I'm going to do that which helps someone else in my Christian life. I want to see someone else grow. Do you know there's some things I like to do? One of the things I enjoy doing is eating White Castle. Now, I can't have White Castle a lot because it's not around here. And even if it was around here, I couldn't have it a lot. It would not do me well to have a steady diet of White Castle. Now, some people call White Castle gut grenades, okay? They're greasy, slimy, delicious burger steamed with onions, steamed in the roll. Oh, man, makes me just look forward to that. But love says this. If I'm going to make someone else sick over it, then I ain't going to eat it. Do you know? If I was with Brother Rich, Brother, now he likes White Castle, he got saved. And he said, if I was with Brother Rich, and Brother Rich said, hey, I don't want to be around this, you know what I do? I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to eat it. If that's, now, you're a different case, sweetheart. But if that smell is going to get to you, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to do it. That's a thought. Now, let me give some illustrations as we bring this to conclusion here real quick. Some of you enjoy sports. Okay? Is there anything wrong with you watching sports? No. But if you're watching sports around certain people that are addicted to sports, it's better for you not to watch it. Because what are you going to do? You're going to cause someone else to stumble. You're going to cause someone else to come to that place. You have the freedom to watch sports. But you don't have the freedom to tear someone else down because you have love enough for that person to know that you can go without that sports. Now it says, but if any man love God, the same is known to him. If you truly love God, that love is going to be demonstrated and shown in your life. You're going to have godly love going through you. What is godly love? Godly love is simply this. Love that looks beyond yourself and looks to someone else. Love that looks past yourself and looks to others. That's godly love. That's the love Paul wanted the church at Corinth to have. Don't look at your freedom. Don't look at your rights. Don't look like I can do what I want to do. Look at how can I be a blessing? How can I help someone else? How can I love them? How can I see them grow? That's what Paul's addressing. Paul has two more reasons he's going to address in the next several verses before he gets to the principle that he gives in verse 9. The first reason is, hey, you think you know it all, but you don't know it all. Understand this, knowledge by itself puffs up, but love edifies. Don't be stuck in just having a knowledge, but be stuck in having God's love shining through you to help one another come to that place of growth and maturity in their spiritual life. That's what Paul is trying to get them to see. Heavenly Father, we love you.